B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 5 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. Nice, sweet groove coming in. Brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Guided Door and Window would like to acknowledge that the health and safety of our community remains at the forefront of our minds, and together we'll all get through this difficult time and come out stronger than ever. Hear, hear. All right, so where did I leave you? I left you with the Big Five story.
Yes.
Where a lot of people blame him for, he didn't want to play anymore the traditional round robin Big Five games. And you have to understand why. Because I'm not speaking up for his side. It's just, it is what it was. You know, all teams, when they schedule, when they have a tough league schedule, try to line up as many wins as they can for NCAA tournament reasons.
Yes.
And so his theory was this, that every game he played in the league was a war. And it was. Back then, the Big East, you're talking about the late 80s, you know, Georgetown and St. John's, Pittsburgh was good, UConn, Providence was pretty good, Seton Hall was really good. They went to the 1989 National Championship game. So his theory was, when we play these Big Five schools, let's face it, whether you like it or not, when they won a national championship, Villanova, their program went up to a different height. It was big. It became bigger than almost every program except Temple.
Yeah.
So his theory was those little schools, it was like the Super Bowl for them to play Villanova. And he lost a few of them. He lost to LaSalle and Speedy Morris a couple times.
But they had
lost to St. Joe's a couple
times.
But
they had a squad, LaSalle, during that era. They had a squad.
But he didn't want to lose to them because it reflected poorly on his NCAA tournament record. If he was going to lose games in the Big East, he didn't want to risk losing to LaSalle. So like all selfish coaches that are thinking of one thing, my program is better than yours, so I don't want to lose to you. What do I have to gain by that playing you?
I hear what you're saying, what it lays out, but similar situation now with Nova. Penn ended up beating them. I mean, they spanked everybody forever. Penn is the team of all teams to end up beating them. It just shows you to me how Jay Wright's different.
Yeah, but there's not a threat anymore like there used to be. That's a fluke. When a Villanova would lose a Big Five school now, that's a total fluke.
Yeah, it wasn't a fluke back then because Temple was good.
Right.
LaSalle had players. Yeah,
LaSalle had Lionel Simmons.
That's what
they had Randy Woods.
They had good players,
but
yeah.
They were still at a lower level.
Overton, yeah.
But still, they looked at that game like, we could beat Villanova. Boom.
I got it.
And so that's what got under that. Like, he was looking at it selfishly. Like, it was a reflection of his ego getting way out of control when he won our national championship. But he was like, once he did that, it's like, you peons want to play me?
What's funny is, though, you had mentioned earlier how he was mad at you in 88. So 85, yeah. He wins. Great.
Yeah.
Congratulations. By 88, another team in the city's number one.
Yeah, but like, that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. That year, his team was great, too.
I know, but I'm saying,
Villanova was great that year. So he couldn't stand the Villanova. He had made all these inroads on recruiting these great players.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Temple sweeps right in under him, like out of nowhere, like playing five guys, basically. Playing five guys, and a couple of them recruited locally, which he would never do. He would never recruit locally.
I remember
Temple
that.
Temple did.
That
so
being a knock.
Yeah, so Cheney beat him with a couple of local dudes on that team, like Howie Evans and Breeswick.
Yeah.
And Tim Perry.
From here.
So here's the story. Back to the story where, and I hope you indulge me with this story because we're on the subject. So he calls me at the Inquirer office and says, come down to practice today. All right, I'll get to practice. Now, the pavilion, I think, had just been built a couple of years before. It was built after they won a national championship, right?
So it was a fairly new building at the
time. Yeah, it was a fairly new building. So I drive over there and I get into the pavilion and I get to like the third row. I'm sitting there watching practice. I know what he wants. So he looks up, he sees me. And whatever drill he was doing, he delegated to assistants. He comes up and he sits next to me. Now, at the time, the national sensation player was Mark Maken.
Right.
As a freshman.
Everybody loved him.
He came in and just dazzled the whole world. Mm-hmm. They were comparing him to Oscar Robertson. So, like, he was it. He was a just a great college player right out of the chute as a freshman.
In a different era, he's definitely one and done and to the league.
Right.
In a different era.
Exactly. So now, and they're doing national stories on this guy. And then, so he comes up to me, and he had a recruit named Greg Woodard, who was a freshman for Villanova. He was a 6'7" guard. His name was Greg Woodard.
No, I'm saying he was a 6'7" guard.
I don't know if he's from Maryland or wherever in that area. And, nice left-handed stroke, three-point shooter. Okay, so that's what all he was. It was nothing more than that.
A nice player
where they would get an open shot, he'd make a three. He was a fairly decent three-point shooter. But he wasn't a pro, he wasn't making.
Not a lottery pick.
Right, so Rolly snivels up, he sits next to me in the pavilion. He goes, "How you making out?" I go, "I'm all right, how you doing?" He goes, "Good. You watch practice?" I go, yeah. He goes, "See that kid out there?" And he points to Woodard. And I go, "Who, Woodard?" He goes, "Yep." I go, "Yeah?" He goes, "Let me tell you something. If we catered to that kid like they freaking catered to Maken at Temple, he'd be better than Maken." And I look straight ahead, and I look down, and I looked over to him. I said, "Can I ask you a question?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "Have you lost your freaking mind?"
You said that to him.
Yes. And he goes, "What are you talking about? What do you know about this game? I'm telling you, that kid."
So he got really mad at you.
Yes. So he storms off in a huff, and he continues coaching. And I just watched the rest of practice, and I left.
What?
It just came out of nowhere. He called me down because he was so jealous
that Maken was getting
Temple
attention.
And Maken, that he was trying, like, he was like, he thought, what did he throw? I fall off a tree or something? Like, right. I know the game. I've been covering the game. I know who can play, who can't. That kid's a nice player. He's not Maken.
Now, you developed a good relationship with Mr. Chaney.
Yes,
I did. All time. Refer to him. He's an all time great, right?
Yes, I did.
I don't remember him catering to that many people. And two, did he have that same kind of jealousy the other way?
Or was he just out there? See, it's the beauty, but he thought that Rolly loved him. You know, Chaney was so oblivious, like he wouldn't even think about stuff like
that. So it was like completely one-sided hate.
Yeah.
He's just focused on his 6 a.m. practice.
I don't know, you think that guy's all that you think he is.
Okay.
Anyway, let's go to Alan in Belmar. Alan, you're on 97.5.
Hello, Michael.
What's
how
up,
are you
Alan?
Today?
How you doing?
All right. Apologies for me. I got cut off twice last week when I was talking to you, and it was my bad. It was all my little
That's
stuff
all right.
Going
you're my Joe and, Flacco expert.
Yeah.
Yeah,
nothing
I got
new
you.
On that. But anyhow, before I get into those 20 greatest athletes, a little funny type thing where I'm a big Villanova fan and so forth.
Uh-huh.
I believe when you were talking to Jay Fry and all that, I believe his wife Patty was a cheerleader on that 85 team.
No, she was not.
Oh, I thought she was because my daughter graduated the year before and she was a cheerleader. I thought it was Patty.
No, she was not.
Okay, anyhow.
Patty went to my law school.
Okay.
Your
20 greatest Philadelphia athletes. Couple questions, if I may. Was anything that considered there as far as team accomplishments, and what was your yearly range as far as how far you went back?
Oh, I went back to Wilt.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like Ben Narek. Let me just throw.
I had Ben Narek on the list.
Yeah, I know. Let me just throw a couple names and just see if they were considered. Okay. I thought Tom Golan was one of the greatest athletes I ever saw way back. That's showing my age.
Yeah, but he didn't have a great pro career.
Yeah.
Yeah, and okay. He was an okay pro.
How about Steve Van Buren?
Yeah, Van Buren probably should be on the list. I guess I didn't want to go back that far.
Yeah, because, I mean, he played actually with Bednarik in 49.
Yeah, obviously
Bednarik was a rookie.
He's one of the great names ever, so. Ron and Voorhees. Ron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ron.
What's up, Mike? You missed.
How you doing, Ron?
Been first time out of work, so.
Yeah, it's tough for everybody, bro. Hang in there.
I will. All right, I got a couple ideas. Don't cut me off after the first, but I was thinking, like, I got too much time on my hands. NBA, NHL, when they finally get back to playing,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking tournament style, Everybody makes the playoffs. But the first round, I'm either thinking one and done or best of five. And then after that, you just you can go to probably a longer.
Why would you want everybody in the playoffs?
Because they got to make let them have another game under their belt. And you never know what could happen with the one and done.
Why would you want that? I mean, why would you want a lousy team having like a crazy night and beating a better team in the professional sport? Like that
crazy times.
Yeah, but that's not fun.
You don't think that would be fun?
No, I don't want a lousy team. You play all year long to determine who's good and who's not. Why should a lousy team get that opportunity?
I don't know. This year they didn't play a whole season, so I don't. I was just the regular.
Yeah, but you know what the crappy teams are in the NBA and the NHL, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they don't. They don't. They don't deserve to be in a postseason.
All right, so maybe we'll go half, or you know what I mean? They could allow it. I don't know. I just think the tournament style would be neat.
Why would you want like some shot in the dark team that finished dead last in the NBA to have a fluke game in advance? That wouldn't enhance the product.
If they get hot, they go a couple rounds.
They're not going to get hot. That's a crappy team going to win a series.
All right, think about the NCAA tournament.
But that's different. That college is different.
I don't know. Duke lost was last year, the year before.
Come on, Ron. Come on. You're right. I should have cut you off. I tried two open lines. 610-632-0975. Ryan in Lansdale. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, first time caller, long time listener.
Thanks, pal.
So I have two questions for you. So first, what are your thoughts on the Eagles not adding any other receivers? Assuming they're going to draft a receiver in the first round, most likely maybe that guy Henry Ruggs from Alabama. But if you think about Arcega Whiteside, Ward, and DeSean Jackson, who hasn't really proven that he can be healthy, do you think that's really a good enough supporting cast to make Wentz and the Eagles actually go further?
No.
No,
I don't. And you raise a good point. I may have like grabbed a free agent in addition to drafting somebody and mixed the whole thing up because you don't know. Like, they're counting on things that I don't know they should count on. One is DeSean Jackson is going to come back healthy. Two is Arcega Whiteside is this misunderstood talent who's suddenly going to blossom. Three, Ward, who, okay, practice squad dude, flashed a little bit, but you're counting on him at a whole different level. So I agree with you.
Yeah. And then my second question, that bonehead the other day called in and talked about St. Joe's basketball to you. I was listening to that in the car. He made as much sense as about Joe Biden up there. Trump 2020, Mike.
All right, good. You got your little political moment in there. Nice. If you feel better about yourself. Bobito in West Philly. What's up, Bobito?
Hey, what's up, Mike? Miz, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
All right, doing good. First time, long time.
Thank you, pal.
So a couple athletes, I would say, was just listening to the top 20. Do you got B-Hop and Joe Frazier in there?
I had them both in. Top 10, okay. Actually, yeah.
Cool.
They were both in.
Another thing, I'm looking at the TV guide, and tonight, and lately, they haven't been playing any of the Sixers. I think they should be replaying the whole season. They played opening night of the Celtics, and then they went back to 2012 playoff game, you know? I think we should just watch the whole season, you know?
Why would you want to watch a loss?
And so we know what we got.
Why would you want to watch a game that you know they lost and get aggravated all over again? Like, you know what they have. Listen, a good win, an interesting game, and I think they're going to play one tomorrow night again on NBC Sports Philly. That's watchable, but the whole season isn't.
Baseball is unwatchable. I mean, who watches baseball on television?
Well, a lot of people do, but it's live at like a baseball game. You're talking about live action baseball?
No,
or
they're playing
replay
night from 2014.
That's because it's an opening day. Is there something special attached to it?
Yeah, they should be replaying.
They're playing it because Jimmy Rollins broke the hit record.
Oh, is that it? All right. Well, I think they need to get more of this season Sixers games on there.
I get them. I got to ask you, like, why would you want to see a game that they lost?
Well, I'd like to see the loss, too, but all right.
Why? Wait. On replay, it's one thing to watch a live game and they lose because you don't know what the result's going to be. But if you already know the result that they lose, what's the entertainment in that?
Well, you're breaking down the tape. Come on. All right, thanks.
All right, man. I don't know. Maybe it's me.
It's not.
Yeah, there's no reason to play the whole season. There will be no interest in that.
No, there's two Sixers games. There's a Sixers game tomorrow, the Christmas Day game against the Bucks, and there's another game on Friday.
Yeah, there are certain games that you know what you're getting when you go in there. If you're getting a loss, that's a tune out. Nobody's going to watch that.
I don't want to relive any loss. For what? That does nothing. That doesn't do anything for me. While I'm quarantined? No.
Yeah.
No.
All right, 610-632-0975. You can climb in. And again, we don't do sound off during the pandemic. So plenty of room for your phone calls. There was something that I saw that I thought was strange in the Sunday newspaper. And I rarely look at the middle section with all the comics and the ads and the leaflets and all that stuff.
All right.
And I just happened to it spilled out. And I saw where a big box store is doing a spring Black Friday.
Okay.
Well, but that's not appropriate, is it? In this day and age, is it appropriate to lure a lot of customers into your store at the same time? Now, if they had run this ad with like some kind of an internet type of sale, to me that would be appropriate. But is it appropriate to encourage people in this day and age to come into the store?
In this day and age.
And that's what you're going to do when you have a big sale like that. That's what the aim of it is, to increase the traffic in your store. But increased traffic is not good right now, is it?
Well, they could be having those rules where it's only five in the store at a time. Like, I had to go to the produce store yesterday, and that's what they're doing.
But they're not going to do that. If they're blowing up this big Spring Friday, Black Friday sale, their idea is not to have five in at a time.
You would think that they would have to. They would have to do something. They can't just let people willy-nilly.
Yeah, they're not supposed to. Even the grocery stores now are starting to have, like, you can only go down one way down a certain aisle and you have to do it the other way. Like, they're putting up traffic patterns. They would have to have some sort of setup to allow for social distancing in a store like that. You would have to. Like, if you're going this way, you have to go to this aisle. Like, you would have to set up something. You couldn't just let people run amok.
I would think that would have been explained in the ad, right? Rather than just splash a big spring Black Friday 25% off all Cobalt wheelbarrows.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's what I would think. I hope.
All right, let's go Pete in Springfield. Pete, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Pete?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up? How you doing, buddy?
You know, I gotta tell you, I love your laugh. It makes me laugh all the time. So, I just want to say, I don't mean to be bring up something heavy, but I heard the other guy talk about the coronavirus. One of the things I always do is I check it out every single day online, CDC website, PA Department of Health, and other locations and stuff. And the one thing I keep saying is that while the vaccine itself might be a little bit of time away, there's at least 15 to 20 companies globally that are in the process of working on therapeutic drugs, including a drug that's been around for a while that treats other things. And they're already and the FDA's fast-tracked a couple of them to the point where a couple places in the United States have already started to do human trials.
Mm-hmm.
The one, actually, they did a story about a woman in California that was in serious condition in the hospital, and they gave her one of these test drugs, and within 2 days, her symptoms cleared up. So there are certain medications which are showing signs of handling the COVID. And the other thing is, I like at least five of the companies are not actually going after the virus itself. What they're doing is they're building up things that allow your white cells to, like, a super probiotic.
Mm-hmm.
And they're showing real good signs against the protein that is made up in the COVID. So it doesn't, it's dire, but it's not extremely dire. Okay, and I think that we're going to probably within a month or two see some of these therapeutic drugs out there.
Well, that's good news, and I knew we would respond that way. It's just it seems to be far away, and people are under the misconception that you can just click your fingers and get it done, and it's just dangerous to do that.
Yeah, you know? Well, the one thing I got to say, I mean, based on, and of course, they could be skewing the numbers a little bit. At least 90% of all the Chinese that had it have recovered. I mean, and you have a lot of recoveries throughout the world. So at some point, in your body, either this virus, once it's in your system, and God forbid, I know certain people have passed away and this and that. I don't want to seem insensitive, but the majority of them get it.
Tyrone pegged him.
He doesn't know what he's talking about, and this is dangerous. It's bad to get it. Just because somebody recovered, there's also people, a person in the state of Colorado under 40 that died today. Let's not play around with maybe. Stop.
Yeah, I don't really know where he was going other than a certain area that...
He was trying to talk about these certain drugs that we do not have any proof of, and I'm afraid on our platform, if we allow him to say it like that at the end, that people will listen to it. And we don't know if that stuff's going to work.
No, and the president's made a mistake of doing that a couple of times already. And you're right, the data that he's citing, we can't trust that, can we?
No, in China, we cannot. Now, if you want to be mad at the media or whatever, I don't care. Like, I'm not into this whole... Mm-hmm. The data we're getting from China is not sound. So we have to go by Italy. We have to go by the places where we have actual real communication with those people.
Yeah.
Nothing says, oh, yeah, it's no problem. There's just nothing that says that. There's a reason that even the president yesterday said there's a chance that 100,000 people or more could pass away with social distancing. This is not the time to just pretend like we know some drug that we do not know about. Let's hope. Yeah. That tomorrow, like I really do, tomorrow they say, hey, take this and you're good. I want that to happen, but there's just no proof of that yet. There just isn't.
All right, let's go Jason in Lancaster. Jason, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jason.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
What's up, Jason?
I'm dying without sports here. I want to ask you, what do you think about trying to move up and get CC Lamb?
I like that.
You think we can
CD
do it?
Lamb, yeah, I like it a lot. I think he's my number one target, actually. But well, I think he's going to be gone by 12. I don't know if they can get up to 12. I think Ruggs will be available a little later.
I mean, they got 10 picks to work with.
They have 8. They gave away 2, so they only have 8 now.
Other thing is, did you hear anything about the baseball? I haven't really been tuned in as much with the sports on hold. When's this baseball starting?
Who knows? Your guess is as good as mine, bro. They had no idea what's going to happen. They were saying if they could get a start and start spring training by Memorial Day, that they could actually start baseball 3 weeks later in June. But that's so speculative. Nobody knows what's going on. And until you have a little daylight at the end of the tunnel, there's no statements they can make on when they can start.
Well, you're plugged in with Comcast. I know you got good mindset and brain with the sports. Can you get some ideas with some games to put on so we can watch?
Oh, I'm still listen. They have a staff over there. They know what important games are. They've got that handled. The games they're going to show you are pretty well reasoned.
Yeah. Can you ask Tyrone, you know, he's on the camera eating chips in the background. It's, you know, what's going on with him?
Hey, Jason, I have to sit here for 4 hours.
What's wrong with him eating
chips?
What's
going on with you?
Why does that bug you? Why does that bug you? In fact, I'm gonna crack open one right now.
Now, real fast, to answer his question, though, since there was sort of a question in there, tonight, when Jimmy, they're replaying the game from 2014 where Jimmy Rollins set the Phillies hit record. Tomorrow, they're going to play the Sixers Christmas game. Wednesday, it's when the team that beat Phillies won in 07 when they won the division. Yeah. They're showing that game. That's a great game.
Yeah,
Thursday, they're showing Carter Hart's debut. Friday, they're showing Sixers Heat game 1. That was when the process Sixers made the playoffs and beat them. Saturday, it's when Rhys Hoskins, that rookie year, set that record, that homer streak. And then Saturday... then later on, that's in the day, and then they'll have a poll up, and people can literally pick the game on the poll. And Sunday, the Jay Bruce walk-off hit.
Yeah, they got a bunch of games. They're professionals.
Yeah,
are handling this there at NBC Sports Philly.
There's a bunch of games lined up for the whole week. I tweeted it out. There's games coming up. But it's not like they're not putting anything on TV.
How you feeling about salt and pepper flavored chips?
I'm actually enjoying those. Do you like them?
Yeah.
I think they should be more popular.
This salt and pepper and salt and vinegar.
Yeah, I like a salt and vinegar. Salt and vinegar to me is if you did a field of 64 chips, salt and vinegar can make a run.
I think it could.
Make a run.
So,
next week.
No.
No. Why can't a brother have a snack?
Right. I'm sitting here the whole time. It's not like I can go somewhere. This isn't a situation where I can leave.
Exactly. Well, Natalie's having snacks. I guarantee you.
I am. You just can't see.
Of course. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You got snack freedom.
Well, and that's the thing. Generally, outside of pandemic times, the cameras are different and it's not on us all the time. Correct. So this is just what we do. You just can't see it.
We got to around this time sometimes.
Look at it this way. We're just hanging with you. You're eating chips. So are we.
Yeah, it's not like I'm. It's also like I'm holding up the bag doing an ad.
610-632-09. So you got under your skin too. I love.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason, don't worry about me.
Don't worry about me.
Mike Mussinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show. It's 97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, let's get the final Twitter poll numbers. From Natalie Aganoff working remotely today. And, of course, it's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. And somehow I lost my sheet.
Hold Is on. It under your chip bag?
Nope.
It's there. How about I give the numbers?
You get your lawnmower, zero turn, or any of your small engine tools up and running.
There you go. Yep.
In time for spring with Paul Thank B. Moyer and Sons, online parts warehouse.
Yeah, what he said.
Visit PowerByMoyer.com. Today.
Exactly. My friends at Paul B. Moyer and Sons. My buddy Jake over there. Good dude.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, what do we have?
Over 1,300 votes today, Mike. Has the pandemic brought out the best or worst in others? 41% say best, 59% say worst.
All righty. So, listen, there's a lot. Thank God for TV and on demand and Netflix and Amazon and Hulu or whatever else you're watching, Apple TV. My God, what would we do without that?
It's the funny thing where, like, some people are treating this, and it's serious, but some people are treating it like it's the zombie apocalypse, yet you can watch 4K at your house streaming. So it's like, is it the apocalypse? It's that funny thing where, like, it's serious, but we at least have that. But
let's take Saturday, for instance, where it rained all day.
Yeah.
Like, what else would you do if you didn't have that television, some new shows that you could do, like that Tiger King thing? You know, at least takes you through the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know people want to read and stuff, but it's hard, unless you're a person that reads all the time anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
On a cloudy day like that, it's hard for me to get engrossed in a book. Now, maybe some people are different. Maybe that's the time they get into it. But for me, it's like drab. I can't get into a new book raining like that.
I used to read all the time, but it turned into such a video world that we I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but we need the immediate fix. Like, the book is an investment.
Yeah.
Like, you need the immediate video fix in this day and age.
Yeah, and some of the old games are doing something, but the shows, this original content, and there's no way, like, I'm surprised, I wouldn't be shocked if they're starting to probably think, I was going to release this in the summer. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should move this up now. Yeah. While we know a bunch of people are going to watch. You know what I mean? Like, apparently they're not going to do that with the Michael Jordan documentary or that Bulls documentary that they wanted to. Apparently ESPN said no. But I wonder if other people go, you know what? I know this was earmarked for later. Maybe we need to release this now while everybody's watching.
Yeah. I was thinking, what could they possibly hit us with after Tiger King? Like, what movie?
There's always something.
We watch?
There's always something.
I know, but that's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
I was so desperate. This guy emailed me. And he said, check out this the Something Bastards of Baseball. It's about a minor league team, he said. Minor league baseball. And I go, that'll keep my attention for a little bit because I'm into baseball. I put it on. It's Kurt Russell talking about his father, whose name was Bing Russell, who was an actor in Hollywood. He was on Bonanza as like the sheriff for like 13 years and did other thing. I didn't know anything about Kurt Russell's father.
I didn't know.
But he moved to Oregon Portland, Oregon, to take over this independent baseball team, which had left town.
Really?
So, yeah. So in that particular year, all the minor league teams, they used to be all independent.
Mm-hmm.
But then all the minor league teams then were became property of the major league club. So this Portland team, and it wasn't getting any attendance, so they moved out and affiliated with some major league team. Well, he resuscitated the team as an independent team playing in single A, and he held open tryouts.
He just let so anybody could have shown up and played.
And everybody did. The tryouts were like 400 people trying out. And what? He wound up putting a team together, guys, and they dominated the league.
What?
Yes. It was actually pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
It was Kurt Russell's pop. And Kurt Russell, I think, played in the minor leagues or something. And his career was over. And so he also helped run this team in Portland.
Really?
And it became this sensation.
Think about that.
It's actually pretty good. It's pretty well done. So I got that, at least.
That
occupied me for a little bit. And then the Ozark comes along again, the new season.
Season 3, yeah.
I got to be honest with you.
People are saying it's not as good.
It might be as good. It is so dark and unpleasant that it's kind of lost me.
Lost you.
It's just so dark and unpleasant. It's like constant darkness and unpleasantness.
It can be tough to watch in these times, yeah.
I've already had two seasons of it, and it's like, okay, but it's just pure evil.
The book that I'm reading, it started out as like I've been trying to find like lighter, like silly stories to like engross myself in, just to kind of take my mind off of everything.
Yeah,
and it just took a dark turn, and I'm like, well, now this is counterproductive to what I'm trying to achieve.
Some people swear by Ozark, and they couldn't wait for the season to come out. I just got, in watching the first couple episodes, I just got tired of the constant darkness of it.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody feels that way.
The first time I watched Breaking Bad, I binged it and I had nightmares because of it. I swear I went into a depression because I just binge watched that show, and that show's dark too if you watch it all at once.
Yeah. I don't know what it's missing.
I've seen
something, though.
Yeah, because I haven't seen much of it. And people are saying that it's not as good. But I'm looking at social media like everything else, and they're saying not as good.
All right. Now, let's go to Steve in Malvern. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Steve?
Great to talk to you, and Natalie and Tamarone. You're doing a great job, all of you. I wanted to talk to you. I tuned in late. I tuned in just in time to hear your story about being invited to watch practice, Ollie Massimino.
The Greg Woodard story. Yeah.
Well, I'm class of 71, which was a big year for that program, and it was prior to Raleigh.
They went to the Final Four that year, right?
Went to the Final
Four. They lost the national championship game.
Yep.
Against UCLA, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
And then we all came crashing down after Howard Porter had signed with an agent.
Exactly. Yeah, so anyway, I have a funny story about Howard, but I probably don't have time to get into it. I've been listening to you for a long time, and I began to appreciate the sort of antipathy you had for Villanova as the school out on the main line.
Yeah, a lot of that is tongue-in-cheek.
Well, I know.
Yeah, I'm trolling a little bit.
I appreciate it.
Because I actually really, that program is, it's a spectacular school and a spectacular basketball program.
Well, it is now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it had its moments back then. And, my best friend in high school, his dad went to St. Joe's. My dad did not go to college. Anyway, the four of us ended up going down to see a Villanova-St. Joe's game at the Palestra. It must have been like 1964, maybe. And it was a wonderful, unbelievable experience to me. I mean, that was the heyday of the Palestra and the Big Five in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, the best Big Five game in history. Now, it's because it's kind of current, so I can't go way back. Villanova played Temple that year, 1988. Speaking of the 88, they at McGonigal Hall.
Right.
It was the best game ever. You can't imagine this game. It's just like it went back and forth and back and forth. And that helped Temple get that number one rating when they beat Villanova. Villanova was also nationally ranked.
Right.
And Temple beat them in that game at home. It was amazing.
I want to ask you, so that year, Temple goes to the Elite Eight and they lose to Duke, right?
They lost in the conference final. I mean, in the regional final.
Yeah,
that was Elite Eight, yeah.
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 How far did Nova go that year? Because they know
Nova did win a couple games in that tournament that year. They may have lost as well in that game. I can't remember, but they were good.
Yeah, because that. What's funny is it seems like from 85 to Kittles kind of gets wiped out in Villanova history for some reason. Like those years in between, mm-hmm. after the title and before Kittles, don't really get talked about much. It's like they didn't exist. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. All of a sudden, like, people don't talk about any of those Nova teams after the title and then the Kittles thing because he was such a big recruit and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. But that year, Villanova had a 7-2 guy.
Oh, they did?
Yes. His name was Tom Grice.
Tom Grice.
And he was awkward. But he actually, you know, he had a little bit of skill. No, he was awkward, but he did serve a purpose. But they had other players. They had Doug West, who was
really
NBA
good
draft
yeah,
pick.
Yeah, yeah, really good player.
They had a great guard named Kenny Wilson.
I don't remember.
And Mark Plansky, who was a sub on the 85 team, was one of their starters that year. I can't remember who the Oh, Rodney Taylor. This burly power forward from South Carolina. And they were really good.
Yeah.
And yeah, Temple beat them like 96-88.
Wow, that high score.
That game, it just went back and forth. It was like, it was crazy.
Wow.
All right, 610-632-0975. You want
to. The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Climb in. There is no sound off. Room for your call. We're back after this. All right, it's 5:47. Coming down the home stretch. Mike Missinelli Show. Thanks, everybody, for listening and participating today as we continue to work hard through this whole thing. And, of course, many of us are fortunate enough to stay home and out of harm's way. However, there are those in the front lines, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow. And I want to pay tribute to all the health workers out there. Doctors, the nurses, the educators, custodians, the health heroes that are out there. If there's a health hero in your life that you'd like us to recognize, just go to our website, 975thefanatic.com. Right now, just nominate the health hero you would like us to highlight. Check out our webpage, our social media pages, and listen every day on the air to see if your health hero will be highlighted. Every health hero we highlight will receive a $50 Dunkin' gift card. We are all in this together. All right. So let's get Dave and Glenn's side in here. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
What's up, Dave? How are you?
Doing all right. You know, just trying to get by with this whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
Doing all right. But the reason I'm calling is you guys were talking about the 1988 NCAA playoffs with Temple making the regional final.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Villanova actually made the regional final as well.
Yeah, I thought they did. I thought they did.
And
who did they lose to?
They lost to Oklahoma.
Okay.
And the way the bracket.
Oh, okay. The Oklahoma. So Oklahoma played the national championship game that year.
Yeah, they lost.
Yeah, they lost to Kansas. I covered the game. Yeah,
the
I
way the
known
brackets
it was Oklahoma.
Were set up, if mm-hmm. if Temple and Villanova had both got through, they would have met each other in the final. So it was a real exciting stretch there. But
yeah.
I remember that Saturday afternoon they both played and they both lost.
Yeah, I covered that team. They were they had one loss all year, and I didn't cover that. I had never seen them lose because they played on the West Coast to start the season, and the Eagles were on the West Coast. And to save a couple dollars, the Inquirer had the Eagles beat writer cover the basketball game that Temple was in. So they didn't send me cross country. So I had never seen them lose until that Duke game.
Yeah, just the one loss all year. It was a real exciting stretch run there for the Big Five, but it just it ended badly. Both on the same day.
Yeah, that was a shame. Yeah, so it was Oklahoma to Villanova. Well, they lost to the team that would actually play for the national championship. So
Yeah, well, Oklahoma was favored over Kansas in that final, and Kansas beat them with Danny Manning. Remember?
Oh, I remember. I covered the game. It was like it was 50-49 at halftime.
Yeah, yeah. So
all right.
Well,
Larry Brown coaching the Kansas Jayhawks. Billy Tubbs.
That's the first national Oklahoma. Championship game I remember.
Was it?
Yeah, I remember.
It was at the Kemper Arena, Kansas City.
And I remember the panic on the announcers when Danny Manning had to come out of the game because he was tired. They were like, I don't know. They're about to basically just admitting how bad that roster was other than Manning. Oh, no, he's tired. What's going to happen? And that was, I kept remembering this guy.
He was an amazing college player.
Yeah, if he hadn't hurt his knee, because look how long he lasted in the NBA as is. Had he not hurt his knee early with the ACL like that, and that's before, ACL surgery was what it was, he probably could end up being a great pro player.
Yeah, Oklahoma had a better starting five.
Who was the whole
thing? Mookie Blaylock.
He could play.
Ricky Grace, who really was a fast guard. Harvey Grant.
Yes.
Stacey King. And a shooter named Dave Seeger.
That was their roster?
That was their starting five.
That's a squad.
Yeah.
And three of those guys played in the league for a decent, for a nice stretch, too.
Yeah.
Not like they were quick. I mean, they weren't great.
And amazingly enough, Larry Brown decided to run with them. And they kept up with them. It was 50-49 at halftime. They went up within the game.
He knew how to coach.
Right, he did.
Knew how to cheat. Knew how to do a lot of things.
Well,
knew how to coach.
After that, he left.
Mm-hmm.
Because the hammer was coming down.
Because
he had hired he hired Danny Manning's pop as an assistant coach when Danny Manning was in high school. This is a funny story. Larry was slick, man.
Mm-hmm.
So Danny Manning's from North Carolina. And obviously he was in big demand by those ACC schools
at the time.
So Larry hires his father, who was a high school coach, as a main assistant in Kansas when Danny Manning was a junior in high school.
To get ahead
of it. Family moves to Lawrence, Kansas, and Danny finished his high school career there, and they just went right to Kansas.
And that
smooth move was like the precursor of it. And then Cal Perry started doing that.
Cal Perry did that. I remember first he did it with DeJuan's pop.
Yeah.
Hired Milt Wagner. And that set up everything. And then from there, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was the way to go. But LB invented it.
LB invented everything.
Classic.
Hey, I remember LB used to have him change rules, too. Like, if you went to a school, if he was there, and let's say you had to have graduated college, he would make you change the rules, too. He would do whatever it took to get guys. LB, yeah, you know what? I wonder how LB's doing.
But he was a great coach because he had one other guy could play on that team. And the guy's name was Milt Newton.
I remember him.
6'4 guard. Could play a little bit.
I think he had a cup of coffee. I know he played overseas
a lot.
Yeah,
he had a cup of coffee maybe. Yeah. And then they had Kevin Pritchard, who was a guard. He was actually McDonald's All-American, but I don't think he played in the league. But he wound up being a general manager in the NBA. I think he still is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. They had two other white dudes that Kansas farm kids.
Yeah. Nondescript.
On the squad. Yeah. I don't know how they won. I really don't.
Manning and then Larry Brown.
Manning had he had to have close to 40 in that game.
He had to.
In 38, I think, is what he had.
He was going off. In college, he was the first player. When he got hurt, it actually, in the NBA, it affected me. Because I was the first guy I kind of remember. You know how you get to a certain age and you're following guys from, because when you're a kid, you turn on the Sixers. You don't know when you're a little kid. You didn't follow them before. Mm-hmm. They just showed up in the NBA. He was one of the first guys that I followed. When he got hurt, I was like, oh, no, Daddy.
Yeah.
It hurt me at the time.
All right. I get the box score here.
All right.
They won 83-79.
In a 40-minute
game. Yes. That Seeger kid had 22 in that game. He led Oklahoma. They were all in double figures. Stacey King, 17. Mookie and Harvey Grant had 14 apiece. Danny Manning at 31-18 in that game. He took 24 shots. Yeah, it was a great game. Anyway, stay tuned. TV, Phillies Focus, Rollins, Utley, Howard, and then the Phillies-Cubs game from June 14th. His hit record. Jimmy Rollins' hit record. On 97.5 The Fanatic, Devon Gibbons is in. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.